You would please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. You'll find that on page 837 in the Bibles in the pews in front of you. And although this is a small passage of Scripture, it has a lot of power behind it. And I praise God for Paul's writing this and for what he meant for it and what it means to us. And it says these words, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Praise God for this passage of Scripture and what it means to us. And we're going to hear what God's Word has to say to us today. God bless.
Thank you very much, ladies, for sharing so much in our service today. As I was just seated up here while we were going over that particular song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," I felt constrained of the Lord to kind of make a little change in the direction of the message this morning. And so I'm going to do that. I'm going to obey what I feel that God has directed. And so I'm going to ask you, if you would, to open up to Psalm 103. And we're going to read the first five verses of this particular psalm. And then also we're going to look at verse 18 that Pastor Homer read in 1 Thessalonians. And then tonight we're going to be expanding on that particular passage. Psalm 103, the first five verses says this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the 18th verse, it says this, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before You at this very moment and ask for Your leadership and Your direction in the remainder of this service. Father, we have sensed Your presence here as You have entered into worship with us in the early service through Sunday school and to this point in this service as well. And now, Father, we want to be able to be a people who are filled with the attitude of gratitude towards You, that, Lord, that we would thank You for more this week than just the bountiful material blessings that You have given us, but that, Father, we might be as well even more grateful for the spiritual gifts that You have given us. And so, Lord, teach us to be a people who are filled with praise and who give You glory for all that You are and all that You do. And Father, we'll give You thanks for that. For it's in Your awesome and holy name we pray. Amen. This particular week, it is a week that's been set aside by the government, unfortunately, to declare gratitude to God for the blessings that He has poured on our nation. And if we go back and we look at the overall declarations of establishing this Thursday as that day of gratitude, we can look back and think, you know, there was a time in the history of our country where people believed that all good blessings come from the hand of God. And Unfortunately, our government today and our universities and colleges and even our high schools are directing away from that gratitude for the blessings that God has given to making us try to believe that we are self-made and that we make our way in this world. In reality, the air that we breathe is a gift from the hand of God. The water that we drink is a gift from the hand of God. The food that we eat is a gift from the hand of God. The relationship that He gives us and the assurance of salvation are all gifts that come directly from the hand of God. And without those, ladies and gentlemen, we as individuals would perish. We would have no real inclination towards honoring God. If there's something that I have noticed, I don't know if Pastor Homer has or not, but something that I have noticed in the last probably 10 or 15 years is that many times in our prayer lives, we kind of make our prayers a time of complaining to God instead of a time of honoring Him and praising Him and worshiping Him. Because you see, even our prayer life is a form of worship before God. Even our individual prayer life. And so we should always be willing to acknowledge the greatness of who He is. And that's exactly why when Jesus taught His disciples to pray, Jesus gave that great Lord's Prayer to them. And He acknowledges, first of all, His Father. And then He honors who His Father is. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. In other words, you are holy. You are to be revered. You are to be respected. You are to be honored. And it's important that we not make a moment of thanksgiving just an hour around our tables, but instead that we make thanksgiving a part of our every moment life, where we remember the great gifts that God has given. It is unfortunate that we only concentrate on Thanksgiving at one season of the year. And, we have enough to praise Him for all year long, but it seems as though we fail to do that. You will notice in the first couple of verses of this particular psalm, Psalm 103, the psalmist, this is a psalm of David, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. And then he goes on to list six benefits, and we're going to look at those in a moment. But when he is talking about this, bless the Lord, what he's really declaring is praise the Lord. Praise is beautiful from the eyes of God towards His people. God inhabits the praises of His people. He draws close to praise. But then that also clothes us as God looks on us. It clothes us with beauty. And so as He is looking on us, He is seeing a people who are grateful for His many blessings. And not a people who are presumptuous. They just presume that, you know, God has some kind of a mystical obligation to them because of who they are. But instead, He acknowledges the humility of man. when we praise. And so whenever we begin our prayer time with Him, we need to follow the admonition of Jesus or the pattern and make certain that we take some declarations as to the greatness and the glory and the holiness of God and how amazing and how awesome He truly is. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, holy, revered is your name. You know, your name is pure, Lord. Your name is amazing because it's at your name that life becomes changed. And so it's important that we praise Him not just on a week of November, but that we make that the pattern of our life. And not just spend all of our time in prayer complaining to God about the horrible mess the world's in. But let's praise Him for the fact that He's aware of all of that, that He is on the throne, that He is in control, and that He is going to work out His will in this world. Praise Him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Forget none of the blessings that He pours out. And then the psalmist moves on. And for those of you in the early service, I apologize for this, but I gave them these six considerations, if you will, in praise. Because they're listed right here and they're very easy to follow through. And if we will take and remember these things, we can actually take one of these every day of the week and focus on that particular benefit, that particular blessing, and praise God for that. And I really recommend that you do that in your prayer time and in your prayer life. But look at the six reasons that were given to praise Him here. First of all, notice the first one, the beginning of verse 3, who pardons all your iniquities. Who pardons all of your iniquities. I like that word pardon. Because it means far more than just forgiveness. All right? He does forgive our iniquities. Absolutely. But the scriptures indicate that God, that in a pardon, the sins are totally expunged. They're totally erased. They are totally eliminated. And so as God looks at the benefactor of His pardon, He no longer sees the flaws and the failures and the sins, but instead He sees the purity and the restoration of man. Wouldn't it be good for us to praise God for the pardon that He gives us from the sins that we have committed, and to acknowledge before Him gratitude and thankfulness for pouring out that kind of a blessing on us? And so the psalmist says, look, take some time here. Acknowledge the fact, this is one of His benefits that He talks about in verse 2, is He's the God who pardons all of your iniquities. He doesn't leave any behind. He pardons all. Secondly, you'll notice that he says, who heals all your diseases. Who heals all your diseases. God is the great physician. And that ultimately he brings about the total and complete healing. You know, for some, that's only going to happen at the moment of the resurrection. For some, it's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the rapture of the church. So whether it is through resurrection or whether it is through rapture, it doesn't matter. He heals all of our infirmities. I like what the Apostle Paul stated when he was talking about that state of resurrection. He said, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The very glorious body that Jesus has, we will have. All of our sicknesses will be gone. Total and complete healing will happen. Healing of the physical body, healing of the emotional body, healing of the spiritual body. Every aspect of disease that has attacked us, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, relational, whatever, God is going to bring about amazing healing. He heals all of our diseases. And so if we take Monday and we remember that God forgives all of our sins, and if we take Tuesday and praise Him and thank Him for the fact that He heals all of our diseases, then we can take Wednesday and we can realize the third thing, that He redeems our life from destruction. He redeems the life from destruction. The fourth verse says this, who redeems your life from the pit. I shared with the early service folks this morning that there is a reference here in this that talks about the pit. It's a part of their it's a part of the Jewish culture and history. And what they would do would be, if there was a dreaded disease that someone died from, they didn't really give an honorable burial to that body. For example, if someone died of leprosy, what they would do would be, they would, of course, pray for that individual's soul, and they would pray for the family, and, you know, pretty much ceremonially do the types of things that we do today. But no one would come near that body except for others who had leprosy. And they would take that body then, and it would be carried away to a pit where they would cast those bodies of those who died of leprosy into this pit, and they would be burned, hoping to not have the spread of that disease go further. And as the psalmist talks about this, that mental image would come up, the mental image of the burning body. And along with that then comes the spiritual mental image of the pit of hell, or Sheol, where the soul would suffer for eternity. And so the psalmist says, look, thank God that you have been redeemed from the pit. You don't have to go to the place of burning. you can be freed. And so take Wednesday and remember the great blessing of redemption that redeems you from destruction. And then notice the next one. The next consideration of praise is this, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Or if you will, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. God gives the glow of salvation as a part of your glory, as a part of your crown. As He forgives, remember, He restores us into His image. And in the move of restoration into the image of God, we literally have a glow of the gift of salvation. And so as God looks on us, He no longer sees the flaws, the failures, the sins, but instead He sees the covering that covers us, the covering of the blood of Christ that has washed over us and has restored us in God's image and in God's way. You know, we think a lot about when the judgment comes, and we hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your joy," and the scriptures indicate that we're kind of given a crown at that point, and we're going to have the honor of being able to cast those crowns before Jesus in gratitude, and we get these mental pictures in our mind. But this particular reference is not speaking to a crown here, but it's talking about the crowning glory of the image of God that we're given. Wow. That's greater than silver and gold. That's greater than anything that we can possibly imagine. To know that God looks at us as full and complete, as pure and as holy, and He blesses us with His glory and that covering of the glory of God for all eternity. That is something that we should thank God for. That is something that we should offer in praise for as a benefit that God is pouring out on us that the second verse referred to. And then notice number 5, who satisfies your mouth with good things, or who satisfies your years with good things, depending on what translation that you might have. But the key word here is satisfies. No longer do we have the desire to be involved in sinful practices, but we become satisfied in the grace of God. We're no longer enticed. That doesn't mean we're never tempted, understand me. But we're no longer drawn to a life of sinfulness, you know, and wanting to fall back into that. But instead, we are satisfied in the grace of God. All of the years of our life, some of you here have walked with the Lord a good many years. And as we look around this congregation, we're going to see some people who have walked with the Lord, and He has been faithful to them. I think of Elsie, and you know the years that she has shared the gift of her knowledge with so many young people, because the Lord has satisfied her heart and her soul. And you see, there are so many that we can look at in our lives that have influenced us and impacted us for the glory of God. And the reason they have done that and been able to walk with the Lord for year after year after year, decade after decade after decade, is because the Lord satisfies. God is faithful. God is everything that we need for spiritual enrichment, fulfillment. He is everything that we need for life. We ought to praise Him for that. Let's make Fridays not a day of freedom from meat, but instead satisfaction for the meat from God that feeds our souls and makes us complete. And then notice the last one. So that your youth is renewed like the eagle. So that your youth is renewed like the eagle. In other words, so that you are strong, you are stately, you are proud in Christ, you are proud of Christ. Not self-centered, not arrogant, but submissive to God and to His will. And He daily renews your strength as they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Renew. Every day, waiting on the Lord, following His will and His direction. Folks, let's make this week the week of Thanksgiving. Let's not cheapen it by calling it Turkey Day. All right? But instead, let's offer to God praise every day, personally and privately, for these six areas. For this is God's will. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give Him glory for everything. For all that He is. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, privately, corporately, on Sunday. And develop the attitude of gratitude, not just for this week, but let's make it for the next year. And then next year, let's make it for the next year. And actually develop the pattern and the habit of being grateful to God and filled with His gratitude. I'm going to ask you at this time, if you would, to please stand and take your hymnals. And remember that we are to bless the Lord and forget none of His benefits. So I'm going to ask you to take your hymnal and open up to number 556. I'm not sure if we know this one or not. I think so. If not, we're going to learn a new one in closing our service today. All right? Number 556, Now thank we all our God.